Welcome to my podcast, Talk Tech with Alexis B., where we talk about technology and the STEM community. Today, I am talking to Katrina Adams Adewusi, an influential STEM advocate. Thank you for being on the show, Katrina.
Thank you so much for having me, Alexis. I'm so excited to actually be on this podcast.
Katrina, please tell me what motivates you to advocate for STEM in the Black community.
Actually, what motivated me to advocate for STEM in the Black community is when I started my journey as an AmeriCorps First Vista. My mission as an AmeriCorps First Vista was to start, recruit, sustain, and inform low-income communities about STEM and FIRST Robotics. So actually, when I became an AmeriCorps Vista, I really didn't know what STEM was. But once I found out how important it was and what it would mean for the future, I really took the initiative to go over and beyond to make sure communities and people who look like me would know what STEM was and most definitely would know how important it would be for them and their children in the future.
That's really great. So talk about the tech needs that you saw when you went out into the community.
Wow, I saw so many. With CPS, a lot of the CPS schools may have...
The Chicago public schools?
Yes, a lot of the Chicago public schools, they may even call themselves a STEM school, but they're lacking a STEM program that would actually support them calling themselves a STEM school. STEM was just really unfolding. The term probably was out, but as far as implementing in the schools, in the community, that was just unfolding once I became an AmeriCorps First Vista. I saw so many needs as far as like the cell phone is transitioning. A lot of people in the community know how to be on the phone, but they don't know how to program the phone. They don't know how to build the phone. So it was so many techniques that I was seeing that people in my community would benefit with having the knowledge to do, program, just get involved with.
I see. So when you talk about your work as a First Vista, what were the goals that you had in building the teams, and then what was that like and the success of building the teams?
Well, as a First Vista, you have the goal far as the government and with FIRST to maybe start like about three teams, because they know it's kind of hard in under-resourced communities. So they had a goal of about three teams, and I had a goal of about as many teams as I can start. And so my passion and my community activists and community engagement really allowed me to spread the word on what STEM was and really help start the teams, help make financial connections to help sustain them, reach out to people to actually help train them. So basically, I was that gap, the communicational gap between FIRST, a technology organization, and Chicago public schools, or just Chicago. I was that gap. I was able to fill it with resources, financial support, and just with the knowledge of what STEM and robotics was.
I see. That's really great, Katrina. When you see where the world is going with technology, how do you, in your role, evolve as a STEM advocate?
Well, I see my role evolving as a STEM advocate, contrasting me just starting robotic teams for the youth. I most definitely want to start STEM and robotics clubs for the family, because if you would be in a working force within the next 15, 20 years, you may need more of a STEM foundation than you can ever imagine. And a lot of times, we be behind on certain things, and then when it happened, we're phased out of job because we didn't have that skill. And so my goal is not just to teach the youth about STEM, yes, they will need it in the future, but parents will need to know it. They will need to know it to keep their kids engaged in STEM, to find robotics and STEM programs that will help them stay prepared for the future. So I feel if the community knows about STEM, it would be more of a change overall, contrast than just a few students getting into STEM. A lot of students go to college and they want to become engineers, and by the second or third year they change their field because they don't have that STEM foundation. And so I most definitely want to start them young, but I want to include the family. And a lot of programs I feel fail because they don't include the family. It's always about the kids. But if the parents don't know what the kids is doing, they don't know how to support, they don't know how important it is, and they just don't know how to get involved to push their kids more. So my goal is to make STEM communities. That's what my goal is evolving into.
Wow, Katrina, that's really, really a great commitment to the community and a big vision that you see. That it's not just about the children, that it's about the whole family. Because when the whole family's involved, then everyone has their own ownership of it, and then the whole family can participate. So what kinds of events do you think can best spread the word to other black families about STEM? Wait, let me do that again.
Any events? Well, we actually introduce...
What kinds of events do you think can best spread the word to black families about STEM?
I most definitely think we need community info events that actually explains what STEM is. Science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. You can ask many adults, and they might have heard that maybe 5, 10, 12 times, and they still don't know what STEM is. So we most definitely have to introduce exactly what the concept of STEM is. We need to let the community know that STEM means the future. And so in that being said, will we be prepared for the future? And so I feel if you introduce it as an overall family, community type of concept, they would take heed to that and start making progress to be prepared for the future and get more involved in STEM. And so my events like community STEM events where it's community teams. I don't want to say community teams. I'm going to say family teams. Well, you got the grandma, the aunties, the little kids, the uncles. You just got everybody in the family that wants to be a part of this team. Well, they have a STEM mission. We will introduce and most definitely intertwine music because we know we like to dance. Just an entertaining STEM event will really get our people hooked because for some reason we love to be entertained. We can't be somewhere where it's boring, lectures, talking on and on. That's just not for us. And sometimes you have to go to the level that people are at where you're trying to reach and then bring them up. And so if our people like to be entertained, they like to do the wobble, they like to rap, they like to sing, most definitely intertwine all of that so that the family can make up their own theme song. They like to design stuff. They can make up their own t-shirt or cape, or, you know, they can do things of a family. I feel if we get back to that family aspect, it would be harder to influence people to go the wrong way. And so how many times do you go to a community event or a family event? It's usually, oh, this for the kids or this for the parents. But how many events where the kids, the parents, the grandma, the aunties, everybody can come and enjoy themselves. They can take a part of that to build on, to just reflect on. And I just feel like that's really important. So it most definitely would be a family-orientated STEM event.
You do a really great job, Katrina, of bringing communities together. I remember being part of your Sherman Park Black History Program and how inclusive of it is of over, like you said, multi-generations. So tell me more about your Black History Program.
Well, I feel like the importance of having Black History events, I feel that that has vanished. I remember when I was younger, it used to be Black History events, and we used to be excited about going. Now, you may not even hear about one. And so with me being an advocate for STEM and knowing that so many of our...
And an advocate for Black families.
And an advocate for Black families.
Yes.
I know so many of our ancestors have contributed so much great inventions and things in STEM. I'm like, why not highlight them, show them what our people was doing in the past, show them what they're doing now, and prepare them for what they should be doing for the future.
Absolutely.
So that's why the STEM into the future or the Black History Extravaganza is so important to me, because I like to highlight what Black people have did in the past, as far as Garrett A. Morgan, George Washington Carver, just all the Black inventors that are being forgotten because their history is not put in the books. And just letting them know the Black people who are doing great things now, the different inventions, neuroscience and all of that, letting them know how important the past was to get us to the present, and where will we be in the future? Will we still be making these great contributions in science and technology and engineering and arts and mathematics? I'm saying arts because I'm saying STEAM now. Will we still be doing that in the future? And that's why it's important to keep things like that going, just events like that going, where the whole family can be there. So my grandma, 85 years old, she loves that event. My daughter is 8. She loves that event. My sister is 40. She loves that event.
You do a great job.
Thank you. So whatever age you are, you could come to this event. You will be entertained. You will learn something. And you will take a piece of pride knowing that your people have did great things in the past. They're doing great things in the now, in the present. And you can be one of them people who do great things in the future.
We'll be right back after this break.
Katrina, how can we financially support the STEM community in the Black community?
Well, actually, that's one of the missions of my organization. I'm a founder of STARR, STARR, Community Services. STARR actually means striving to achieve righteous realities. I feel like as long as you're striving for something righteous, a righteous reality, it will cut down on so much. And so I feel like, to be honest, I feel like money is out there for STEM, but are we asking for it? And if we're asking for it, are we doing what we're supposed to do with the money? Because I always hear Best Buy and a lot of organizations are giving money for STEM because they know in the future, a lot of people say, companies say that they want diversity. So that means they need all type of engineers because people think all type of ways. So it's people and organizations that's always giving money for STEM. But I feel like it most definitely has to be more.
So how do you make the connection between the schools and the robotics clubs that need the money, need robots, need financial support, and the companies and the foundations that are willing to give the money?
I feel partnerships are key. A lot of times people want to go straight, can we get 5,000? Contrast and partnering with them, they allowing their employees to come volunteer for your events and they're paying them, and you getting way more than that $5,000. You getting mentorship. You getting eventually you getting manpower. Mm-hmm. You getting actual engineers that's coming to speak and encourage the kids. So a lot of times it's not always about money. It's in-kind donations, it's manpower, and it's most definitely volunteerism.
To be face-to-face with a black engineer, an engineer that looks like you.
And that's why organizations like NSBE, National Society of Black Engineers, that's so important, because our people have to identify with people looking like them. A lot of times when I go to school and I talk about engineers, I've had a lot of students be like, oh, they white, not knowing that not all engineers are white. They're not knowing that there's organizations like NSBE that's out here trying to support and increase blacks that's actually going into engineering and STEM. So I want to break that stereotype that engineers are white. I want to allow them to identify with somebody who looks like them, that's cool, whether they wear braids or the baseball caps or whatever the case may be, or whether it be a woman, a black woman, let you know that she working in a chemical company that's making lipstick and makeup. So a lot of times they don't know the different fields. They just think engineer does this.
Or they think engineers drive trains.
Yeah.
Or is the person in the basement of the school that turns the heat on. That's what some things
right. Stationary engineer. Well, there's so many fields of engineering, and majority of the time they don't know half of them. They don't even know probably three of them. And so by expanding their horizon for the different fields, it may be something that they like to do and that they can be an engineer. Like a lot of the girls like clothes, they like fashion. But they don't know that an engineer is the person that designed that material, so it could be tiny holes that your skin can breathe. They don't know that. And so that can be something that can relate to them that they want to build on and explore more on. So it's just like you said, making it relatable and just showing them the different avenues of engineering. It's not just you build a building. You could be a chemical, you could be a mechanic,
electrical,
civil. So it's so many different fields of engineering, and I feel like with knowledge, it would give them more opportunities to explore the different STEM pathways out of poverty.
And I think that we also need to change the persona of being smart and the persona of engineering, because people think that engineers are the people on Big Bang Theory. Engineers look like Urkel. When engineers pretty much have the same swag, the same, they look like regular people that you would see in the grocery store. So it's also a persona of, I don't want to be a nerd. Or if you're cool and you're outspoken and outgoing, that you wouldn't be the perfect engineer, because it's really important to kind of change what an engineer looks like in children's minds.
That is so true. Like I have a few friends that's engineers, and so when I bring them out or I had them speak at different events, people be like, you're an engineer, and they be like, so cool. They might dress like them, have the blue jeans on, or wear the different designer, and that's relatable. Wear Jordans or whatever the case may be. That's relatable, and they feel like, oh, okay. And especially when someone tell their story, or I used to go to this school, or I wasn't good at school when I first started, or you know, my mom was on drugs, or I was homeless. Just hearing the stories and the struggles of others will encourage you and inspire you to know that, hey, if they did it, I can do it, you know. And that's what I think is missing, knowing the struggles of a lot of successful people. You just see, oh, they're successful, but you don't see the things they went through, whether they was a child or yes, or whether they was in school or whatever the case may be. And that can help identify with a child or someone who's just really searching for a path that they can be successful in.
Yeah. such a great conversation, Katrina. Thank you so much for stopping by the podcast, Talk Tech with Alexis B. Today's guest was Katrina Adams Adewusi.
I just want to thank you, Alexis B., for giving me this opportunity to teach, to talk about my STEM advocacy for the community. And most definitely, just thank you and encourage you to keep going and doing the podcast, because you never know who's listening, who needs this direction, and what great impact that you are having. So I just want to encourage you to keep going, and I just want to thank you for this opportunity. Thanks, Alexis B.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Talk Tech with Alexis B. You can contact me on Twitter at Talk Tech Alexis B, LinkedIn Talk Tech with Alexis B, on Instagram Talk Tech with Alexis B, or email me at alexisbeng@gmail.com. If you would like to advertise and sponsor the show, please email me. Have a great day. This podcast, Talk Tech with Alexis B, is sponsored by Anchor. Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast. The Anchor creation tools make it easy to record episodes, edit, and distribute your podcast all in one place for free. Anchor helps distribute your podcast so it can be heard everywhere. On Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and many, many more. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.